Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
I've entitled tonight's message, Knees, Feet, and the Timing of God. And what I want to look at tonight is I want to talk about what I believe to be three critical elements to revival. I want to look at three elements of revival, and then you could probably come at this from 100 different angles, 100 different directions. My job tonight, I believe, is just to talk about three most obvious components of revival that I believe are coming together in a very powerful way right now. The first of which is sustained intercession. I believe that's right, amen. I believe that sustained intercession is essential to see a move of God. Now, I'm talking to a group of people who believe that. I'm talking to a group of people who have been doing that, who have been a part of that, who believe in the power of prayer. I believe it is part of the purpose of God in order for there to be a revival, a move of God in the earth. I believe it is essential, it is in the heart of God that there be a season of sustained intercession. And I would dare say that there probably has not been a significant move of God anywhere that was not preceded by and maybe even continued to be bathed in sustained intercession. Sustained intercession can look a lot of different ways, but I just want to read the verse that all of you know. You could preach better than me, but I just want us to feel it afresh. I want to believe the word of God again tonight. 2 Chronicles 7:14-15. If we can get that up on the board, on the screens. Thank you so much, sound booth. 1 Chronicles 7:14. You guys know it. In fact, can we just read it together? Let's do it together. I got NIV up here, so roll with me on this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. This is the promise of the word of God. Your Bible says this is how God thinks and operates. Your Bible says this is real. I want to tell us that just because there's a timing delay, that just because we've not seen this happen the way that we've hoped for, that we've wanted, we've longed for, we believe, just because we've not seen this happen yet does not mean that there is an error in this equation. It does not mean that there is a hang up or that there is any differentiation between what God thinks, feels, and how he promises to operate and that which he's already spoken. In 2 Chronicles 7:14-15, I want to touch on a couple of components here. My people coming together. My people coming together is a different concept than my people being separate and still being my people. The church coming together to pray, the unified work of the church coming together in unity to pray, it is an essential element to get the job done. I mean, why did God give us this Bible passage? To tease? To hopefully just get us in alignment in a couple of ways? I think he gave it because he means to do what he says he will do. I believe that the Bible is real. And that while there might be a time delay sometimes on our prayers, on our agreement with what the Word of God says, that time delay does not in any way negate the reality of that verse, of those Bible promises, of that God, of his character, of his nature. He's a good father. He tells us the truth. And he is the one that gave us 2 Chronicles 7:14-15. It's his word. Second component of this says, humble themselves and pray and seek his face. The humility to come and go, God, we need you. We need you. Oh, God, we need you. The humility of coming together. Do you know it's far easier to pray by yourself at home in your prayer closet? It's far harder to get up, drive across town, go to a prayer meeting where there are people gathered from across the body of Christ to pray there. It's harder. It requires humility. It requires obedience to the scripture. It's just harder. And then to press in and to seek his face, God says that if you'll do that, if the people of God will do that, and then if the process of that, they'll turn from wickedness, that there will be genuine repentance, there will be a turning to the Lord. He says, then. He says, then. It's a promise. He says, if you'll do these things, okay? Pretend it said this. If my people who are called by my name will stand on their head and dance around funny and ride around on ponies, then I'll hear from heaven. Whatever it is that God put in the three blanks, whatever it is, he could have made up whatever he wanted. He didn't make up crazy circus acts like I just painted the picture. He asked the church to come together, to humble themselves, to pray to seek his face, and to turn from wickedness. And he says, when the people of God will do that, then there is a promise from the scripture. Then something different will happen. There will be a unique response from God when there is a unique response from man. And it's just, God wrote it. I mean, he's the one, he's in charge. He gets to say what he wants. He gets to come up with what he wants. And this is the pattern. And he knows actually how difficult this request is. This equation is. It's actually very difficult to get the people of God to do that. But he says, if you will, then I will. He says, then I'll hear from heaven. Then I will respond. My ear will be attentive to you, and I will respond to you from heaven in ways that are unique. I will do for you things that are unique. I'll forgive your sin, and I'll bring healing to your land. You know, just think about the land. The major issue was not a plague in the land. The major issue, a plague in the land would be one thing, but it's anything that's sick. It's the lost with a deaf ear that cannot hear the gospel. There needs to be a healing in the land, a softening of the soil. It's sickness, it's disease, it's brokenness in marriages, brokenness in family. If it's sick, if it could be identified as sick or an injustice, this is the thing God says he'll come and bring. This is actually the banner revival passage, because really this healing of the land, it's revival. I'll bring revival. I will bring life, revive, life again. I will bring life again into the land, into the marriages, into the homes, into this, into schools, into that. I will bring life again. I'll heal your land if you'll follow that prerequisite. And my eyes will be open, my ears attentive. It sounds like an open heaven. My prayer is offered in this place, or if I can say it, in that place, in the place that's doing that. You can expect to see some wild things. God will respond in some wild ways to the place that's doing that. Now, I want to tell you right now, I don't think that Dallas-Fort Worth has it all figured out at all, but I do think there is a measure, a new measure of responsiveness along these lines. It's more than it was before. It's not at all what it needs to be. It's a very beginning, but it's more than I've ever seen. I am seeing things right now I have never seen. And I am now seeing the Lord start to do some of the responding in ways I've never seen. I'm kind of excited. All right. I told you there were three components. First, sustained intercession. Second, it has to be the Kairos hour. You cannot make a revival happen. You cannot force the hand of God. But God has already told us that if you'll do this, then he'll assign a Kairos hour. That Kairos hour, you guys probably heard teaching on it, means an appointed time. An opportune moment, a due season from God. It's used to speak of a God moment in the scripture. It's used 86 times in our New Testament. This concept of a timing from the Lord that's set. But the Lord sets his time and requires people to respond and interact. The Lord does not set his times apart from interaction with mankind. He actually sets them in accordance to, because he likes family. He likes partnership. But you can't, even if you do everything right, you can't say, okay, God, so tomorrow, it will happen tomorrow. Yes, Lord, tomorrow. You cannot make it happen tomorrow. It is still in the timing of God. So it has got to be the God moment. So sustained intercession gives you the promise the God moment is coming, but the God moment coming doesn't mean the God moment is here. It must be the Kairos hour. It must be the God moment. That is a second element of revival. You cannot force it. All you can do is pray, fast, cry a little more, humble yourself a little more. Just do the stuff. You can do the stuff, but it's got to be a God moment. And until it's a God moment, it ain't. Until it's a God moment, you just keep praying. So that's the second component. But there's a third one. There's a third component. And I'm excited about this because you get to do it this week. The third component is there must be a responsiveness from the church. There must be a responsiveness from the church. you will all be able to go home and said, Brad preached the simplest message I have ever heard in my life. He told us 2 Chronicles 7:14, which we've all preached on before. And then he told us the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. If we can get that up on the board, thank you. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore, because all the authority has been given to me, Jesus speaking, because it's all been given to me, I've got something for you now. Because it's all been given to me, therefore, go. Go. Leave the church building. Therefore, go. Go out and interact with people. Go. Therefore, no longer just being together. Therefore, go get uncomfortable. Go. 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 Therefore, go. I've been given all the power in heaven. I am with you even to the end of the age. Therefore, I am sending you out. Go. It's time to go. It's the third component. Sustained intercession ushers in a Kairos hour. A Kairos hour when the Lord actually declares it, it's time to go. Go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. I'm not going to focus a lot on the discipleship aspect tonight, though I love the discipleship aspect. But you can't disciple somebody who ain't in the kingdom first. So the first part of discipleship is go get them saved. Once they're saved, you got a lot of work to do and a lot of poopy diapers to clean. But you ain't got no poopy diapers till you got a baby. So we have got to bring people into the kingdom, and we do that by going. We go. We go. And when we go out, we tell people about Jesus. They give their lives to the Lord, and now we can make them a disciple. We can teach them about Jesus. We can get them into small groups. We can raise them up. We can make them intercessors and find out what their skills and their gifts and their talents are from the Lord and get them plugged into the body of Christ. But there is a dying world all around us, and it's time to go. It's time. I believe it is the Kairos hour to go. And this week, you can be going. And it's going to be awesome. I just want to say this. If any one of those three elements is missing, the move of God either won't happen or it will be greatly hindered. Greatly hindered. Because the Lord still wants partnership, even when it's the Kairos moment. He still wants partnership with his people. He says, I like my family. Go make some more family. Go get some more. Bring them into the house. And I think the Kairos hour actually has way more to do with the person that would have said no to Jesus yesterday will say yes to Jesus today. But they will not say anything unless someone goes. They'll say nothing. Guys, right now the fish are jumping into the boat. They're boat jumping fish. It is the time to go. It's fun right now because I believe there's been sustained intercession. I believe the Lord has actually shifted the dial, and it's a new time. I believe it is the time to see things shift. And now it's time to go and bring in a great harvest. It's time. It's time. But you, busy mom, blue-collar worker, small group leader, brand new into the kingdom, you have to go, or it won't happen. But if you will, we'll see a move of God. You know, this week, I'm going to read you some stats. It'll be fun. You'll be all encouraged. You'll leave here all happy. But one thing that I was marked by, that the entire Time to Revive team was marked by, is there were 344 churches that said, we're in. We'll do this. And the attendance was atrocious. It was horrid. It was awful. Terrible. Pathetic. 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 The turnout of the church was pathetic. Now, I'm encouraged because I believe, well, I already know there's pastors all over the city doing what I'm doing right now. And it's like this. Everybody just lean on one cheek, okay? And I'm kicking the other one, okay? That's what's happening. Pastors all across the city right now are kicking their people in the tuchus. They're going, go! Go on outreach! Go! Let's not wait. It's time to go! And God is going to respond. God's going to do crazy stuff. All right, let me give you some stats. Okay? Now, just so you know, I'm going to read these stats. And these stats are encouraging, but they're encouraging because we're not thinking about the big picture. Of the 344 churches that said yes, just so you know, that's like probably close to 200,000 believers in the city, maybe at least 150,000 believers in the city who are connected to these 344 churches. So call it 150,000. Let's just go with a low number, all right? So there's 150,000 people involved in the churches that the pastor said, we're going to be a part of this. Let's do this thing. And I recognize sometimes it takes a little bit of, you want to see it first. You want to make sure, is this real? Is there, you know, is this legit? I get some of that. We just can't have the turnout week two that we had with week one because the response from week one was absurd by comparison to the buy-in of the church. The Lord is going, it's the Kairos hour! Go! All right, here's some stats. They averaged about 130 teams per day of groups of four. When you go out with Time to Revive, you go out in groups of four. And they averaged about 130 teams a day. Now, the reason I celebrate that is because I would dare say there has never been a week in the history of Dallas-Fort Worth since Genesis 1 that could be said. 130 teams per day went out and shared the gospel in Dallas-Fort Worth all across the Metroplex. I just doubt that's ever happened. And if it ever has, it certainly didn't happen from people that were a part of hundreds of different churches. Maybe you had one mega church that like just built up to the thing for a whole year and was like, we're going to do crazy week. And then they went for it for a week or something. But this is rare, okay? That's over 771 teams that went out this week. Or, well, that's the number, 771. 3,059 people went on outreaches. Now, that's a little bit confusing of a number because a lot of people went twice or three times or whatever, and that's all included in that. But 3,000 people went out and shared the gospel? Let's say it was 2,000. 2,000 people went out and shared the gospel this week. When was the last time that happened in your city? This is rare. This is rare. Salvations, I got to give you some stories. The beauty of Revive Texas is how simple they make sharing the gospel for the scaredy cat pew-sitting Christian that's never shared their faith ever. I am not one who goes out and shares my faith very often. I am so grateful for the simplicity of Revive Texas. I'm so grateful for the beauty, the simplicity, the easy training. They give you 10 or 15 minutes of training and they send you out on the streets and all you probably need was 7 minutes of training because it's so simple. And they provide incredible tools that make it so doable. Well, I just want to share some of these stories. The bread and butter of Revive Texas is you going out and you sharing the gospel. That's the main and the plain. But they also get some really wild opportunities because the Lord is, he's in this right now. So they're getting wild open doors at schools, at prisons, at juvenile detention centers, on football team practices, in courtrooms, in presenting to policemen, in going into fire houses and being able to present it, going into businesses, all kinds of stuff's happening. Pinkston Public High School in Dallas. This is like hoity-toityville, okay? These are all very well-off, typically not a very responsive area of Dallas-Fort Worth to the gospel. They went in and they shared Jesus this week at Pinkston Public High School, and three students gave their life to Jesus at a public high school. The next day, they went to North Dallas High School. North Dallas High School is the rival, very white, affluent, you know, upper middle class kind of a deal, or probably upper class kind of a deal. They went in, they shared the gospel. Eight students gave their lives to Jesus at a public high school. I don't remember the last time I heard about people going to school lost and coming home saved because something other than maybe their best friend shared Jesus with them at lunch. I mean, for eight people, eight kids went to school that day and they came home saved. Two members of Texas Revolution, the arena football team here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, They got to present the gospel to the arena football team here in Allen, Texas. And two members of a professional football team gave their life to Jesus in front of all their peers. Said, I want Jesus. Pray for me. I want Jesus. And they're getting them into discipleship relationships. Two members of a professional football team gave their lives to Jesus this week. 15 boys on the Odie Wyatt Public High School basketball team in Fort Worth gave their life to Jesus this week. They came into the locker room. They were sharing the gospel because one of the coaches was a believer, and he took a step of faith, just like where you're going to take a step of faith when you go out on outreaches this week. They took a step of faith. I might get fired. Maybe I won't be received. Maybe the other coaches will give me a hard time. He said, you know what? You just come on into that locker room and you share Jesus. And because he did, 15 lost high school boys. You remember lost high school boys? Smelly, dirty, can't say nothing nice, always got an attitude. They went home saved. Their eternal destiny is different this week. They're out playing basketball. This is at one of the host churches. One of the host churches that's in the hood. And they've got a basketball court out there. And their hope is that they want to be able to minister to people in their neighborhood. But like many churches, it's an idea that doesn't really wind up manifesting much. There's 16 neighborhood kids that are out playing basketball at this host church in the Purple region, which is the region right next to the one that we're in right now. 16 kids. And one of the folks from Revive Texas says, you know what, I'm just going to go over, I'm going to share the gospel with these kids on the basketball court. And everybody kind of looks at him like, you're going to go do what? Like, this is kind of like the hood, like, what, really? He walks over there with 16 Bibles, 16 wristbands. He goes, hey, come here. And these 16 guys are all like, what? What are you talking? They come over, and they're kind of like taken back by his boldness. They go, what? He goes, hey, I want to pray for you guys. He winds up stepping them through the Bible. 16 kids were there. 16 kids gave their life to Jesus. See, it's the Kairos hour. Because last week, I don't know that that would have worked. Maybe it would have. It's just been my experience that the wind is shifting. The tides are changing. Things are working in Dallas-Fort Worth right now that didn't work before. But the church is experiencing a measure of go that the church wasn't doing before. It's a small component, and it's a small number right now. But I believe that the Lord has actually listened to the decades of intercession. Oh, God, soften the hearts so the ones that say no will start saying yes. Oh, God, soften the hearts so the ones that don't want anything to do with you will be open to the gospel when it's presented to them. Guys, I got to be honest. I've been so discouraged about sharing the gospel over the years because I just have had almost nobody ever say yes. I've been so discouraged. I'll tell people about Jesus, and it's either a strong no or a kind of brush me off no. I've been so discouraged because sharing the gospel, in my experience, has not worked much, and I think that I've probably been operating out of some of that brokenness. But people are saying yes now. Something shifted in our city. Okay, so great. Basketball team. At least they all knew each other. How about the 10 people at Sonic the other day that got saved? They go and they're presenting the gospel at a Sonic. The manager said, yeah, I'm a believer. Go for it. Mess all my customers up. And they start going around. I don't even know if they were following the car hops and serving up ketchup. I don't know what the story was. I just know 10 people in a very short period of time at a Sonic who came there to get a burger got Jesus. And 10 people responded to the gospel and said, yes, at a Sonic. I have never heard of such a thing in my life. Who gets saved at Sonic? Well, you'll meet them when you go upstairs because you got 10 brothers or sisters in the kingdom that got saved at Sonic. Last night, we had our encounter service. While we're in worship, a team went out to a juvenile detention center. This juvenile detention center, I mean, you know, juvie is tough. It's a rough place, and kids are, you don't get in there because you were smiling and you know, being kind to the teacher. So they present the gospel at this juvenile detention center. Why? Because some person apiece, somebody there at juvie said, you know what, come in, share the message with them. They went and shared the message. 25 kids gave their life to Jesus last night at juvie. Now listen, I gotta preface this. The doctrine and the presentation of Time to Revive is solid. And there's no sloppy grace. There's no, you know, you just get in, everything's gonna be roses. There's no, oh, well, we prayed for them, so we believe they're saved. They want to see, they're looking to see somebody give their life to Jesus, and they're watching. I am so impressed with the process. These numbers are real. These are real people turning to Jesus. I'm leaving out all of the recommitted their life to Christ numbers. These are first-timers. There's a team that goes out. I love it. They're so simple. I actually got to go on outreach with one of the guys when I was in Dayton, Ohio. I went up there to see Revive Ohio because I wanted to get a feel for it before it came here. And I got to go out with one of their guys, and he's just a dude. He's a retired dude. He's probably, I guess, 60. Gary. Gary's great. Simple, loves people, will cry about anything. Just a big teddy bear of a man. He just loves people so well. But he's super simple. Simple. And somehow or the other, while they're on outreach, they get connected to Mesquite High School. And in the process of having this conversation in afternoon outreach, it wasn't planned, they get invited by, I think, the football coach. I guess it had to have been the football coach. They get invited, hey, why don't you come back to our locker room? And the guys are almost done with practice. Why don't you come back to our locker room and you can share the gospel with the 130 guys on the football team, high school football team. I played high school football. You don't get saved in a locker room. You tell dirty jokes. I remember being a lost guy on a high school football team. 130 boys, 110 gave their life to Jesus. 110. That's impossible. And we serve the God of the impossible. It's the Kairos hour. It's different. If you go now, things shift. It's different. 110 out of 130. No. I called him. I got the text. I said, 5 aces. I said, you tell me the story, Gary. He said, bro, I can't believe it. He said, I tried to talk him out of it. I said, tell me, Gary, what'd you do? He said, well, listen, I presented the gospel, and I said, if any of you guys feel like this message is for you and you feel like you're ready to give your life to Jesus, why don't you go ahead and stand up? And he said, 110 of the 130 stood up. He said, no. Everybody sit back down. He says, listen, I'm talking about, you want to make Jesus your Lord, you're like, that you're not in charge anymore. That now Jesus is Lord, and that like you feel like the Lord's doing something today. And I don't mean you want prayer, that you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life and that you want to serve him the rest of your days, and that like you want to be a believer in Jesus, a follower of Jesus. That's what I mean. I mean that you want God to like live in your heart. He said, now if that's you, stand up. 110 stood up. He said, oh, okay. He said, okay. He said, all right. Well, pray with me then. Like, if you mean it, then let's pray and ask that the Lord would come and now be Lord. And he leads him through a prayer. He says, now out of all of you that are standing up, how many of you feel like you're ready to walk this out and that, like, you want to follow Jesus and you feel like this is real for you today? Put your hand in the air. All 110 put their hand in the air. See, he tried to talk him out of it. Because it's impossible for 110 out of 130 high school football players at a public high school to give their lives to Jesus. That is impossible. And it happened this week in Mesquite. See? It's different. We're living in a different hour. It's a different time. This week, since Sunday didn't count because nobody went out. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 559 people got saved this week. And I told you one big number, 110. The rest of them were all pretty small. You want to know how everybody else got saved? It's because Denny went out. And he talked to somebody about Jesus, and they said yes. It's because Luke went out and had a conversation with somebody, and somebody would say yes. It's because you would go out. It's because people, folk, pew sitters, non-gospel sharers normally, went out and shared Jesus, and people said, well, yeah, actually, I do need that. I need Jesus in my life. It was the most shocking thing for me when I watched this happen yesterday with tall Laquelin in the hood. And I called him out. He's just walking down the street. And I said, hey, come here. I'm this white dude in a minivan in the hood with a car full of kids. And he goes, yeah. And I go, come here. I go, hey, we're just out sharing Jesus' love and like praying for people. Anything I can pray for you about? And he started to say no. He started to say no, not really. I go, oh, because your life's perfect, right? And he goes, no. And he started walking over a little bit more determined. He was like, no, it's not. I go, well, tell me about it. I go, make something up. Tell me what I can pray for. And he started telling me some stuff in his life. And I said, well, can I pray for it? I said, I believe in Jesus. I believe he can help you with your stuff. He said, yeah. And that opened a door. And it was just a few minutes later, I was stepping him through this Bible, and he gave his life to Jesus right there in the middle of the hood just because somebody went out. And I drove away from that. It's like, that dude was going to go to hell a minute ago. See, because the soil's soft. I don't know how all this works. I don't have it all my doctrine figured out on all this stuff. I'm just telling you, it's different now. It's different. This should excite you because you're all going out this week. And it's different. The soil's just different. Now, not everybody that we approached yesterday got saved. In fact, some people just kind of brushed us off. They weren't really interested. But one did. What if it was one out of 50? Well, what if we could mobilize 100,000 believers in the city to actually do this thing? And now how many 50s divided by how many encounters divided by how many we might see a move of God. See, because I believe a sustained intercession. I believe it. We've been doing it. But I believe there's a timing when the Lord says, I'm tipping that bowl. We've been on our knees. It's time to get on our feet because it's the timing of God. I believe it. Couple of fun other stats I'll read you. And then, I'll just keep plowing. I'm going to skip over the stats just for the sake of time. We had some really cool things happen this week. I want to just share a couple of stories with you, a couple more stories. And then I want to hear some testimonies. And I want you to get the full gambit here, okay? I want you to hear some stories that of some folks that went out this week and did outreach. And just how the experience was for them. Maybe nobody got saved, but they went out and they shared Jesus as best they could. I want to have that time here in just a minute. Guys, one of the fun things about Revive Texas, somehow or the other, a marketing company donated 5 trucks that say, how can we pray for you? And it's got the big Revive Texas emblem on the side. And you guys are going to see these wristbands that step you through the Roman road. They've got the wristband like giant on the side of the truck. And some marketing company like paid for all this and gave them 5 of these and also gave them a 6th truck. The 6th truck, it's a mobile baptismal. Oh yeah, it is. With filtered water and it's a little heater and it's glass. So it's driving around. They've been driving this truck around. Guys, you got to understand, I've never heard of anything like this before. They're driving around and people are pulling them over and going, what's this? Going, well, it's a mobile baptismal truck. Well, what are you doing? We're baptizing people. And then the guys driving the truck, they're crazy. They go, how about you? You want to get baptized? And they go, well, yeah. Yeah, pull over on this hill over here. Pull over. So they pull over. They're not going to baptize that person because the person said they want to get baptized. That's heresy. Oh, but if we can share Jesus with them because they're open now. 7 people in one afternoon got saved because they saw a mobile baptismal truck, came over, wanted to figure out what it was. They talked to them about Jesus. They gave their lives to Jesus. And you know what they did with them next? They baptized them in that mobile baptismal truck. Seven people who were just out and about, just walking around. What's that? Baptismal truck. What are you doing? Baptizing people? Want to get wet? Maybe I do. I'd kind of like to go home and tell my parents that I got baptized. Okay, well, let's step you through the gospel. And these people start crying. They give their lives to Jesus, and then they dunk them. Guys, this week, a Muslim guy, still Muslim, he sees somebody walking around with one of the Time to Revive Bibles in their back pocket. It's a great place to put it because it's pocket size. You just pull it out when you need it, and you leave it back there when you don't. And this Muslim guy sees, says, is that a Bible? He says, yeah. He starts sharing with him a little bit. The Muslim guy says, I'm not ready to change my religion, but I really want to know more. And they set him up with a discipleship maker who's going to meet with him every week and talk to him about Jesus. That Muslim is doomed. We had a Jehovah's Witness just in the last couple of weeks. It's been coming around our prayer room. She gave her life to the Lord a few weeks ago at a church that we're connected to. It's totally awesome. But that's not the part I want to tell you. The part I want to tell you is, as this, I mean, my goodness, you could tell she was very lost in my encounter with her. I'll just leave it at that. When she was lost, she was very lost. And she comes to know the Lord. She comes around the prayer room now, and she's in the Revive Texas prayer meeting. She's now praying for the very lost city that she was very much a part of just a few weeks ago. She's at the prayer room. You'll probably meet her this week. She'll probably be in there. Love on her, would you? I got a friend. This just blows my mind. I get coffee at the 7-Eleven pretty regularly. And there's this girl in there, and her name's Ripley. And right now, Ripley is, she's like 5-6 months pregnant. And her husband, they're both atheists. And I was an atheist before I came to know the Lord. And so I've been trying to share with her a little bit, but something shifted this week. She didn't give her life to Jesus, but I've been presenting Jesus to her. I've been talking to her. I looked at her one day. It was probably Tuesday. I just felt a little bit of boldness. And she was trying to get something done. I looked at her. I said, Ripley, he's real. And she said, oh, yeah. No, I go, listen to me. I was an atheist. I was wrong. He's real. Now, I just got to tell you, the next day, she invited me and my girls and my wife to her 3 or 4-year-old daughter's birthday party. Her and her atheist husband, atheists, invited a minister to come to their birthday party. That's not normal. See, I kind of think it's the new normal. I kind of think things are shifting. I think it's time. We're out on outreach. I just got to brag on my daughter. I was so proud of her. We're on outreach. And we're sharing Jesus with people. And she's looking around for somebody pint size, somebody she can talk to. She finds a little boy. She runs right up at him. She starts praying for him and giving him the bracelet and like talk to him about Jesus as best she knew how. And the boy totally was freaked out and ran away probably. My daughter's sharing Jesus. She's 4. If the 4-year-old can share Jesus. Right? Hey, everybody who did outreach this week that's in this church, everybody who did outreach either this week or in the last like 10 days, come on up here. I need you. Come on, everybody. Come on, come on. I want you to keep your testimony short. I just want you to, how did you feel? And give me one thing that happened. It could even be a bad thing. You know, they rejected me. That's okay. We're going to get rejected. If the Son of Man got rejected, we're going to get rejected. That's okay. That's part of the deal. I want to hear, how did you feel in it, the training and everything that that you went out and did? How did you feel in your outreach? And then just share one detail that happened, not 3 details, okay?
I felt nervous, and it had been a particularly rough morning and evening before, and so it was kind of like, all right, we're going to do this anyway, and then we go out, and just the way that they make it so simple, and like everybody wants prayer, well, I say that, but a lot of people just want you to pray for them, because they know they have needs in their life, and you know, a lot of people have this concept of God already, and they want him to help them. And so they're open, and you just show them that love, and they really do open up. And on just a little bit more detail on JC's, this was a little boy that I was praying, Lord, just send him over to the swing so that, you know, I can talk to him, because I was swinging Gabby. And because he was with a bunch of older boys and was very, you could tell he did not want some older pregnant lady coming up and talking to him. That would not be cool. And so he was a younger kid with all of, you know, with his brother probably. And so I'm praying for that, and then all of a sudden I look up, and JC's just run over there. And I didn't tell her to do that. I didn't encourage her to do that. She just did it, and she got to pray for the boy, you know, and said, you need the Lord. And he was like, yes. And just prayed for him and prayed that the Lord would soften his heart. And that made the entire day worth it to me, because that was my main goal, you know, that my kids would see and would get to experience going out and talking to people about the Lord and praying for people. And then I tried with these two other kids, and they just were completely like, you know, I was like, hey, do you guys want some prayer? Nope, we're good. Okay, great, move on, you know. And so you have these amazing stories and then some like that. But it was just very disarming, and I definitely want to go again.
Awesome. Thanks, Amy.
So we went out Wednesday morning, and we decided to just go knock on apartment doors. So we knocked on these apartment doors, and this lady answered. We talked to her for a while. She was a believer, really loved the Lord, but she'd been going through a lot of stuff, financial stuff, health stuff, really discouraged. So we just got to pray for her, bless her. She was crying. She was so encouraged. We got her set up with someone who's going to disciple her and just walk through life with her. So no one got saved on our outreach, but then we came back for lunch and heard this testimony. So I'm telling two details, but of this Muslim woman who got saved talking to one of the other teams. And they're telling this story, and they talked to her. They're like, is it okay if we pray for you in the name of Jesus? And she's like, yeah, Jesus, that would be great. Okay, so is it okay if we share the gospel with you from the Bible about Jesus? And she's like, yeah, I want to know about Jesus. So they just share the gospel with her, and she gets saved. She's going to be a disciple.
That's awesome. So I woke up on Thursday morning from the most intense demonic dream I've ever had, and I just felt slimed. And I know that it was the enemy trying to keep me from going out on the outreach, but I was like, no, I'm going. I mean, I had a horrible morning that morning because of that, but I knew that if I went on the outreach that the Lord would encourage me. So I went out with a team of four. We went to a park and shared the gospel with one guy, but got to pray with several other people. We prayed for a lady named Cherie who was born and raised in Texas but had only been to church once in her life, which is unheard of in Texas. I mean, this is a Bible Belt. People go to church on Easter and Christmas, at least. She'd only been to church once, and she wasn't super open to us, but I was just so excited that we got to pray for her and talk to her about Jesus, and I believe the Lord is going to transform her. We talked to another lady who is Buddhist and had married a Christian guy, and so we shared the gospel with her and got to talk with some other people. No one on my outreach was saved, but I was so encouraged. I mean, I'm definitely going to go out every week, and the enemy wasn't going to keep me from going out. So.
So I went this past week just feeling excited, feeling expectant for the Lord to move and do something. So the day that I happened to go was on 420, which if you aren't familiar with what 420 is, it's National Weed Day. And so I'm out with my team, and I split up with this dude, and we go around, and we find this small group of high school guys, and they're just sitting on a park bench, and I'm like, what are they up to? You know, let's go talk to them. So we go talk to them, and we pray for them. We share the gospel with them and stuff, and we're specifically talking about how we're all sinners, you know, and that we need, like, our Savior to wash us clean of our sins, and we need to confess our sins. And the whole time, they're just, like, sitting there, like, like, and I'm like, what is going on in their heads? But anyway, none of them give their life to the Lord. But we walk away. Long story short, I'm sending in texts for the prayer room to be praying and stuff. And I'm texting about these kids. And I'm like, Lord, get them, you know, whatever. And, like, I turn back around where they are. And I see this silver Cadillac pull up into the parking lot. And the kids run over there and are talking to this person. And I think in my head, like, this totally looks like a drug deal. And but I'm like, oh, maybe it's just a ride. So I turn back around, finish texting in the requests, turn back around, like, not even a minute later, and they're all gone. So I was like, oh, it must have been their ride. But then the police show up, and they're asking a woman that was with us if they'd seen a silver Cadillac and some kids. And she's like, oh, no, I haven't. she comes and tells me, like, why the police were there. And I was like, no, I totally saw a silver Cadillac and some kids. So please come back. And they're like, yeah, this car's going around dealing out drugs. It's 420 and stuff. And so I was just like, Lord, like, thank you for putting us there. Because had we not gone to that park at that time, those kids would have just thought it's a normal, you know, 420 day. They're going to go do their thing. They're going to smoke. But the Lord put us there, and we got to share the gospel with them and talk about how we're all sinners, and we need Jesus. And they're sitting there thinking in their entire, you know, that entire time, like, we know we're about to do wrong. They were former Christians, so it was like, they knew they were doing wrong. And so it was a divine time. Though they didn't give their life to the Lord, the Lord's going to get them.
It's awesome. Yeah, so I had a team, and we had four different churches represented in my team that went out. Even a guy from Michigan, and I just want to brag on Revive Texas. Just in their training, they always teach you just listen and love people and be humble. And I had our team leader was this 21-year-old guy from Michigan. His family travel around and do these outreaches, and it's just one of the humblest dudes I met. Like, he just loving on people, just listening well. Like, random dude does a drive-by, drop off his shopping cart at Walmart, and just pieces out. And this guy, like, goes over there, takes his cart, and just like starts talking to the guy. And so he just modeled to me, like, humility and putting into action. So I just want to encourage you guys that these Revive Texas people, they're all stars, and they're just a lot of fun to be around. So good.
Does any of this sound scary? You guys can do this.
Okay, so Naomi and I, we had a full week, and then Thursday morning came along, and that was our one window. So we didn't get much rest the night before, but we got up, and we got out there by 7:30, and I was unsure. It wasn't like the heavens opened up, but we were assigned to go to a church. Us and another family with two kids, we all went, and we ended up being at this event where they were having like a tricycle race of some sort. So we blended right in. We got to pray with a couple people, and that was it. And I feel like that was, we have an inheritance in this Revive Texas thing. So we're praying for people to disciple, at least one person to baptize, and we're going out to get it.
I love this lady.
That's awesome, Louise.
Go out with your kids. Don't let that be your excuse. Go out with your kids. Take off a day of work. Go out, do outreach. Forerunner Fellowship. Let's not be like so many of the churches of the 344 that are not following through with their yes. Let's do this.
So yesterday was my first Revive Texas outreach to go on. And at IBOC, I got to go with three whom I don't know. Two ladies were from... One from Indiana, one from Mississippi. The other one was basically from the Plano area. So we went to the Bishop Arts Center, and we started off at this bike shop. It was just me, and this guy's name was Greg, I think, somewhere in his 60s. And we just talked to two of the guys there. One who backed away. The other one was he stayed put and told us that he was a minister's kid, you know, growing up. So we got to pray for him as well. And when we got out, we came across these two ladies who were this mother and daughter who were sitting at a bench, and we just had some questions about their cookies, and like, but we allowed the two ladies who were with us to take over so it would be more comfortable, yeah. And we just continued on and prayed for this one guy who owned a business right there across the street. And so when we came back to debrief a little bit outside the coffee shop, our two other friends were telling us that when they ministered to this mother and daughter, they told us that she got saved. So that was a cool part of it all.
That's awesome, Walter. That's great.
I'm normally pretty nervous whenever I try new things, and small talk is not my best thing ever. But I just decided I was just going to go anyway, and so I went. But when you walk in, those of you who are nervous like me, like when you walk in, the Revive Texas people are so welcoming. They really make you feel like you know what you're doing, even though you don't. So we went to one place, and people were just kind of like, no, we don't want you to pray for us. But then the next, so I was really discouraged, and so the whole time I was praying off the fear, man, because really that was what was getting to me. So we went to the park. I was able to pray for this mom and her two kids. She was just tired and just really beat up, and so I was really able to like minister to her, and that was really encouraging to my heart. And so she was like crying in the middle of a park playing with her kids, and so it was just really encouraging. So just go.
Real quick, have you ever done anything like that before?
No.
Are you glad you did it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks, Trish.
this is what tomorrow's going to look like, and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. It's going to be awesome. And it's also going to be real normal. And there's going to be some times where nothing cool happens. And there's going to be some times where some awesome stuff happens. But it's because we go that this thing's going to gain momentum. Believers that hear about this are now starting to do outreaches. They'd never heard about it before. They didn't hear, you know, from their church or whatever. And they're coming to be a part of it because they got encouraged at the park. Listen, in Indiana, they started off with 400 people that said, we'll be a part of this. And by the time the thing was over, about 50 days later, they had sent 10,000 individual names on outreaches in 50 days. They started with 400. We've started with 150,000 that said they'll do it. 150,000 that said they'll be a part of this at some level. What is the Lord going to do?
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.